Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Welcome to Ask Rob and Rob. As always, it's a Tuesday, and that means we're answering two of your property questions. We've got a couple of really interesting ones coming up, including one that Rob B gets very passionate about. So if after hearing these questions, you go, you know what, I'd really like to get this question answered for myself. Well, you can do that. Just give us a call on 013 808 0035 or go to propertyhub.net/ask and leave us a voicemail. Now, ideally, in your recording, you'll leave us your name. Otherwise, we normally make up a pseudonym for you. But our first caller today has done that herself.
Hello, this is Miss Moneypenny from London. I have a query. As well as my salary job, which I really can't say very much about here, I have two rental properties. And my question is really, how do you handle the stress of being a landlord? I know that you have said in the past that just get on with it, don't complain. We're in a privileged position, and I accept that. But for example, this month, both my properties have suffered leaks. In one of them, the leak is extensive and ongoing, and I've had to rehouse the tenants in a hotel at my expense. In the other one, the leak was caused by a previous tenant, unbeknown to me, drilling a hole through the roof to install a TV cable. So obviously, these situations are difficult because you are expected to deal with it on the spot, and sometimes things cannot be resolved quickly. You need to keep people on side. There are financial pressures. Basically, any tips from the Robs who, with their big successful property portfolio, must surely sometimes experience stressful moments, any tips on how to handle that would be very welcome. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, an international woman of mystery. I like it. Thank you, Miss Moneypenny, for your question. And it's a great one. How do you handle the stress of being a landlord? I think it's worth acknowledging that being a landlord does come with stress, and there's not a lot you can do about it. It's very, very fast moving. And I think that is a large part of what causes the stress. Because if someone's got a problem, even if it's a problem that in the grand scheme of things isn't the end of the world, so like it's a broken washing machine, it's still in that person's home. It's still causing them inconvenience, and it's going to get them annoyed because it disrupts their life. It's something they're paying for that they think should be working. So it needs to be resolved quickly. Whereas if you're in the commercial property world or in a different area entirely, things are normally a little bit more relaxed in terms of time frame. So it does mean that if you are hands-on doing things yourself, then you need to sometimes drop everything and get something sorted. So what can you do about that? Well, the first thing is that you can distance yourself completely and get the property managed for you. We've spoken about this before on the show in the last couple of weeks, but if you do that, you will need to get a good agent and put your time into selecting an agent that you're very confident in. And you'll need to do that for two reasons. One is that if they're not a good agent, then they'll just kind of come to you with the problems and you'll have to solve them anyway, but via an intermediary, which is really annoying. And the other reason is it seems like you take your responsibilities seriously. In order for you to walk away and leave them in charge and not feel the need to get involved, you'll need to trust that they're doing things as well as you would. So you do have to put the time in to select a good agent, and you need to be aware that if you are handing everything off and even giving them rules like, you know, if it costs under £200, just do it, don't bother me. You need to be aware that it's still legally ultimately your responsibility. So you're legally responsible, but you don't have to be actually day-to-day responsible and having issues disrupt your day. The other thing you can do is to distance yourself mentally. And it's difficult to sort of say, okay, well, here are the three concrete steps to distance yourself mentally, because it's something that just kind of happened for me over time. When I had my very first rental property, I did get very stressed out if something needed to be done. And I was doing it all myself, and I felt under real pressure to get things sorted. And it was stressful. But as my portfolio has grown, my stress has actually decreased. And that's partially about having properties managed, but it's also about just about changing my mindset. And it might sound callous, but I think ultimately it comes down to seeing it as an investment, not losing sight about the fact that these are people's homes and therefore things need to be done properly, but handing off the day-to-day responsibilities to someone who you trust, so you know that the right thing is being done by the people who live there. But then beyond that, to you, it's just an investment. So you mentioned a leak which is caused by a previous tenant. You know, it's nothing personal. It needs to be dealt with. Someone else can deal with it. It's not a big deal. It doesn't have to take up headspace. And I think this is something that comes with time. Like I said, I used to get very stressed out by things, but in recent years, I've had police knocking down doors. I've had tenants leave without paying. I've had a lot of leaks, but none of it bothers me because I managed to detach my emotions from the events. So I know that's a lot easier said than done, but I think that's what you're ultimately aiming for. But like I said, property is inherently somewhat stressful. And it may be that you can't get to that point and it's causing you more stress than it's worth. And property is just not for you. And if that's the case, that's absolutely fine. There are other things you can invest in. So try to make some changes, give it a bit of time, see how it goes. But it's worth being aware that property might just not be the right investment for you. And if that's the case, that's absolutely fine. Okay, let's move on to our next question now. This one's from John.
Hi, Rob and Rob. My name's John. I'm a new property investor. My question is this. I'm just about to buy a new build development apartment in Liverpool, and the developer has agreed to waive the solicitor's fees just as long as we use their preferred solicitor. So my question is this. Would you think that would be a good idea, or could there be a conflict of interest there? Just to let you know, it's not the same solicitor that they're using for the process. It's their recommended solicitor, and they have multiple. The idea is that it increases the speed on their end, but it's just whether you think that's a good idea or there should be still impartiality there.
John, I'm so glad you've asked this question, because not only can I help you, but I'm going to be able to help a lot of other people listening. Do not use their solicitor. They are obviously keen for you to use that solicitor, and they may give good reasons why, but wavering fees to get you to use their solicitor terrifies me, because I've seen so many off-plan deals where the contracts have been very dodgy and they've been able to get away with it by using tactics like this. Now, it could be that it's just entirely innocent and this is a great solicitor and it's a great deal that they're wavering the fees, but why take the chance? For the £1,000, £1,500 it may cost you to get a good solicitor, I promise you it's money well spent. Because if you get this wrong, it could cost you a lot more. The worst version I've seen this manipulated in the past is deposits not being protected properly, the developer going bust at a later date, and that deposit being lost. And normally, you'll put down 10% deposit. If you're asked to put down more than that, again, walk away. But if it's just 10%, 10% of a property is still a lot of money. If they're somehow asking you for even more, well, personally, I wouldn't do that deal. And again, alarm bells would be ringing. But if they are and you lose that, then, well, yeah, it becomes very, very serious at that point. So make sure you use your own solicitor. Make sure you don't put any more than 10% down. And make sure that your solicitor is used to working with off-plan properties, because they need to be looking for these alarm bells that do unfortunately exist. I'm not trying to scare you off plan completely, because most developers are great developers and most off-plan deals work out fine. But unfortunately, there are a handful that cost some investors a lot of money, and I don't want you to be one of them.
Well, I think that was pretty unambiguous. Good advice there for John and anyone in that position. Thank you for listening. Hope you've got something out of today's episode. We'll be back with a property podcast on Thursday, so we look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.